just let them know when you want to
start. Yeah. Can we all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm actually nervous. But then, I'm even more nervous because my husband is here. Because the truth is, he used to be once my youth pastor before he became my husband, so I know he's going to scrutinize every word I say. Praise God. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for today. I come here as a vessel, O God. I do not speak of my own words, but I ask that you use me. Speak through me. I lean not on my own understanding. And for everyone that has come expectant, dear Lord, I ask that the expectations will not be cut short in Jesus' name. Lord, my mouth is as the pen of a ready writer. I have planned this, but Holy Spirit, take preeminence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right. So my spiritual hero. I was thinking really hard, but then I realized that there's no way I'll be standing here if not for my grandmother. And I had to reflect back on my journey through the Christian faith. I realized that she played a major role to who I am today. I remember one of the, I have something printed out, but I don't think I'm going to use it because I'll just flow as the Holy Spirit leads me. And I remember one time she took me to church when I was 12. And on that day, there was an altar call. But I was so moved by the service. I really didn't understand why I was so moved. But that day I came out and I gave my life to Christ. And she's been watching me since then. And each time we gather at her house, my husband knows, even while we were married and all, she always has this devotion and gets all of us, her house, her rules. So everyone has to pray and we gather together and we worship. And it was a beautiful thing, but I felt like she did too much. And on every birthday, especially when you mark like a milestone, she would always give you gifts. And with that gift came a Bible. The last gift I got from her was in 2022, and that was before she died. She gave me a preacher's Bible. And I think that was somewhat prophetic, because I think because of her, I'm standing here today. Her life wasn't so rosy. So her husband passed away at 55. She had two children, my dad and his sister. And my dad was actually a sickly boy because he had, I don't want to mention the sickness, but he was always ill. And I saw her through her strength and through that journey. She raised them on her own. And he got married and he had all of us and he did very well. He passed away at 66 and his mom was still alive. That's my grandmother. And we remember that day we went to tell her that her son had died. And there was hope in her eyes. She was not scared or anything and she encouraged us in the Lord. It's funny, but I look back and I see all of those seeds were seeds that were planted and indeed they are reaping fruits. It's a big one. It's almost like the scripture in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that says, when Paul talked to Timothy, he said, I am reminded of the sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lewis and in your mother Eunice. My grandmother's life wasn't just about words. She lived it. She was very, everybody knew her, knew she was generous. She opened her home to strangers. She housed people. She sponsored people in school. She led a quiet life, but in faith. And all of that is the kind of life I see and I would love to emulate, God willing. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 24, and verse chapter 3, 14 to 15, Paul, still admonishing Timothy, he said something. He said, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. So this is talking to me. He said, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That is to tell all of us here. I know some of us are mothers, are grandparents, that every seed of God we sow in our children's life, it stays. Because the Bible says we are not born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So it does grow. And I'm a living testimony to that. Amen. Coming to my second hero is a Shunammite woman. And I want to just read through the Bible so we have an overview of the whole thing about the Shunammite woman. Yep. In 2 Kings chapter 4. This woman was unnamed. We never knew her name. She was known by where she came from, Shunem. Yeah, and it was a small village. But then there was something remarkable about her life. And when I was asked to talk about my hero, I actually was thinking back. I've had several spiritual heroes, both in Bible and in person. But then I've noticed that my heroes change and as I in different seasons in my life. And while I evolve, some characters in the Bible speak louder to me than others. And so looking at 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 8. The Bible says, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for meals. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. In other words, there was discernment. She discerned he was a man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day when Elisha came, he went up to the room and lay down there. But the man of God was, why did this woman go through all this trouble? And he called Gehazi, that's his servant. He said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her and he stood before him. So I have a feeling that when Gehazi called the Shunammite woman, she didn't actually enter the room because she had that conversation with Gehazi. And Elisha said to him, that is his servant Gehazi, he said, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? Remember that Elisha was like the voice of God in those days. So the king would listen to Elisha before they even go into battle and all of that. So he had a voice in royalty. So he could help her in the corridor of royalty. He could help her and get her what she needed. And then she replied, I have a home among my people. So she was content. She was a woman of means. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. You know what God ministered to me while I was reading this? Sometimes we may have those lingering heart desires that we don't want to mention. It could be a sickness, it could be an ailment, it could be a child that we are worried about, but we feel like, oh, we've just resolved that it can never happen to me, it can never be me. You know, there's something about your situation, but you don't want to talk about it because you feel, oh, it has lingered too long. I'll just trust God and rely. Lord, what will be, would be. And the truth is that God sees our hearts, and the Bible says he grants us the desires of our hearts. So a lot of times, so there was actually an unspoken desire. And when Gehazi said it, then Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold the son in your arms. No, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servants. So she had given up hope, even though he's in good faith. Amen. So sometimes a sickness, whatever it may be, that burden has stayed too long. And we'll be thinking to ourselves, Lord, what will be would be. No. And it's almost like Job, you know, but let's keep going. It's very interesting. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The 18th verse stood out to me. He said, the child grew. Praise the Lord. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father. That one day came. Your child grew. Our kids are teenagers, and one day they had an addiction. I used to know when my boy used to love God, but one day my son was hale and hearty, but one day he had a headache and he spiraled down. That one day comes in our lives. That is why God, Jesus, you know, we follow, we carry our cross and follow him. Jesus Christ, encouraging his disciples, he said, in this world, you will face trial and tribulations, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. So we should realize that there must be a one day. But are we prepared for that one day? The Bible said the boy grew. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. The boy grew, but one day he went out to his father who was with the reapers. So that's probably in the morning. He said to his father, my head, my head. His father told the servant, carry him to his mother. That stood out to me. That stood out to me. He never really said, oh, let's find out a way of how this boy, why are you feeling like this? Let's get someone to help him. Let's get a, you know, in those days we probably didn't have a doctor, but somehow he said, carry him to his mother. So that woman was a woman of faith, and the husband knew that there will be a solution. I'll just take him to my wife. Take him to Joy. Take him to Joy. Joy would know what to do. I want us to be women like that and men like that, where people say, oh, take him to Jillian. You know, there's something about your life. There's something. There's something about our life as children of God. And the father said, take him to the mom. And he said to the, and after the servant had, so verse 20, after the servant had lifted him up and carried him to the mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon. So I believe that was in the morning, and she carried her son. She went up and laid him. Okay, so he carried him up till noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband. So listen, this woman never panicked. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. She never told him what happened. She witnessed her son die. She never said, oh, the boy has died. Why go to him today, he asked. So he even asked, it's not the new moon or the Sabbath. She said to him, what did she say? That's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So we're going to jump and fast forward to 26, verse 26. Is that there? Elisha saw her and immediately told Gehazi, run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Because again, I mean, Elisha loved this woman. This woman was very hospitable. And a woman of her caliber, she had money. And so he said, quickly, ask her, are you okay? Is your husband all right? Is your son all right? And what did she answer? Everybody, can we see it up there? And then her response was, everything is all right, she said. So she answered to Gehazi, everything is all right. Some translation said, she said to the servant, it is well. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over, you know, trying to pull her away. And Elisha said something. He said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress. Ah, yeah. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Why did the Lord hide it from Elisha? The Lord had hidden it from me and not told me why. He said she's in bitter distress because sometimes God wants to protect your faith. Do you know the Bible said Elijah was a man with like passions as we are? These are men. Sometimes, imagine if she had said, my son is dead, oh, I can't do anything about it. And there's immediate panic. And that can affect even the man of God's faith because even Elijah ran away from Jezebel. When Jezebel threatened him, this was a man, Elijah was a prophet that, you know, called down rain and did so many miracles. And at the end of the day, Jezebel threatened him and he ran and fled. He was scared. So that's to tell you that sometimes God wants to protect your faith. Why did all through the journey of the child being crying out, my head, and even passing out, dying on his mother's lap, she never uttered a word of, oh, he's dead. She, not even to the man of God, and we're going to see it. Because the Bible has said something. It said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. He said, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. A lot of times we accept, oh my God, a lot of times we accept the words the doctors have stamped on us. And we say to ourselves, oh, I have this, rather than saying it is well. Now, faith does not deny the fact. My dad has had schizophrenia, my husband knows, so sometimes he used to have relapse. I used to imagine he was such a gentleman, really kind, really, you know, oh, bless his heart. And yet, he had another personality that when he had that relapse, he was a different person, and I didn't like it growing up. And there were times he would be taken away and be in rehab for a while, and it would be my mother and my grandmother, and it was hard. But my grandmother stuck through prayers. When he passed away, he never had relapse for many, many years. I knew my dad to be someone taking heavy medications just to keep his mental health. But through prayers, we saw him being healed. And although he passed away at 66, I must tell you, he passed peacefully. So what am I trying to say? Just like the Bible has said it, that some people, because we are filled up with a cloud of witnesses, in Hebrew, Paul, whoever wrote the Hebrew, it wasn't Paul, said we are full, we're surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. He says some of them, he talked about the men of faith, hall of faith. And he says some of them died without even seeing it. So a lot of us, the seeds we may be planting now, we may say, I don't know, Lord, I don't know if it's going to happen. You know, but God knows it's going to happen. Praise God. And going, carrying on, Gehazi came over to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. She now answered, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? Praise the Lord. So we all know what happened here. We're not going to read it further because it's a very long scripture. And eventually, Elisha went back to that house, and he somehow brought the boy back to life. So you could go back home and read that story. But then there's something also remarkable about this woman. A lot of times we read this story, we think that's where it ended. Can we go to chapter 8 now? So in chapter 8, oh my God, help us. Oh, you know, sometimes we say we read this Bible, but the Bible is spirit and it's life. Hallelujah. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, a recap. There was great famine that ravaged the entire Israel, that got people to become cannibals. I don't know if you remember a story where there were two women passing and they saw the king and they brought a matter to the king. And they said to him, oh dear king, this woman promised me that would eat her son first. And after we finish with her son, we would eat my son. And now it has come for us to eat her son, and she has refused. And the Bible said the king of Israel tore his robe. And underneath his robe he was wearing sackcloth, so he wasn't fasting because Israel was in turmoil. But then, in that instance, the Bible now saying here about this same Shunammite woman, now Elijah had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land, and that will last 7 years. Look at divine insight. Just from opening her house to the man of God. You may not necessarily have to open your house to the man of God, but what this is telling me is service. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added. All, every single thing. It didn't say some. Every single thing. You know, my family and I are a testament to that, because we came into the UK and we barely had nothing. We were like starting from the scratch. And I remember how church was so welcoming, and some people came to me and said, oh, do you need anything? Do you need anything? And everybody was so kind. But you know, one of the things we decided in our hearts, we said, we're not going to ask any man for anything. Because God that brought us here will sustain us and provide for us. And all through, he's been doing it every step of the way. And then the woman proceeded to do as the man of God has said. She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. So we're going to go straight forward to verse 4. Now, she came back after the famine, and obviously her land that she had was occupied. So she went to the king. Meanwhile, the king was talking to Gehazi. So is this not divine orchestration? The Bible said the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and said, "Tell me about the great things Elisha has done." Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha has restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and her land. Divine orchestration. This is God's timing, in his own time. Now, if we back up, do we remember when Elisha asked her, "Is there anything you want me to do for you? Should I meet the king on your behalf?" And she declined. She wasn't seeking for reward from man. And the Bible said, Gehazi said, and as soon as he was asking, Elisha had restored the dead to life. Elisha had brought back to life, came to appeal. So that woman came to appeal to the king for her house and land. Gehazi said, "This is the woman, my lord, the king, and this is her son." So she obviously came with the boy whom Elisha restored to life. The king asked the woman about it, and she told him. Then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land, from that day she left the country until now." Oh my goodness, mind blowing. So an accumulation of 7 years in house and land, she got it in one day. That is our God. This is the God we serve. You know, it's easy for us to say, oh, he can do all things. We can do all things through Christ. He gives us strength. But it's time we start living it out. And I knew my talk was going to be short because actually I finished. But then, you know, some of the things I've learned, I'll just bring it out. And I strongly, when I was preparing for this, I knew I wasn't going to use this paper. And I strongly told my husband, I said, I would rather like us to pray. I want us to take one song and pray. There could be a situation in your life that has lingered. This is the time to hold on to the foot of the cross. We're not holding on to the foot of Elisha. We're holding on to the foot of the cross and asking God to help us to come through. It could be in your children's life, your grandchildren. It doesn't really matter how long that thing has lingered. The Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. It is not impossible with our God. I don't know about you, but my life is a testament to God's mercy. It is a testament to God's mercy. That is why I can beat my chest and say it over and over again. And you know, when Princess was sharing that thing she was sharing, these are the things we were talking about with my husband, is actually to tell you that God's spirit is one. What she said, living this life, because our light must shine. People need to see you and give glory to God. People need to see you, Karen, and want to be attracted so much to know your God. We need to come up to that point where we are not afraid, we are not ashamed of this gospel of Christ, because we know it's the power of God unto salvation to all men. Praise God. So one of the things that I've learned is that my grandmother and the Shunammite woman showed me that the gospel isn't just preached from the pulpit. It's preached through how we live, through their generosity, faith, prayer, and quiet strength. They taught me what it means to walk with God. My prayer is that we all continue to grow into women and men that lives our lives in faith, with the same grace and conviction, and that we too would leave behind a legacy of faith, being the great grandmother of Karen, Billy Graham. Amen. Praise the Lord, the dear one. Amen. Yes. So I would like us to pray now, and there's a song. And while that song is going, I would like us to bring all of our cares, whatever it is that has lingered, in fact, some unspoken desires of our heart. It could be a sickness, it could be a burden, it could be an infirmity. I would just like us to pray and bring it to the foot of the cross.
Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority.